All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. A scripture is taken from the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son, which begins in verse 11 of the same chapter. And we'll read the parable to get the context of what we're going to be speaking of this morning. Beginning in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we hear the words of the Lord. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." And that word prodigal simply means wasteful. And this is where we get that term prodigal son from. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." And by that phrase, "he joined himself to a citizen of that country," he sold himself into slavery. In American history, the closest parable we have to that is the idea of the indentured servant. "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that swine eat. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him.' So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you have never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Of course, we're going to be focusing this morning on our text, the specific verse, verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." We're going to be working this morning in our Father's Day message from the lesser to the greater. We will begin by seeing how our text applies to father-son relations on this earth. And then we will see what our text teaches us about relations between our Heavenly Father and ourselves. We will do so by going through the text. First, earthly relations. And he arose. This he would not do. He would not arise until he would reach rock bottom. Like most of us, he had to learn the hard way. And he arose. In arising, it would involve setting aside pride and putting on humility. And he came to his Father. The Son came to the Father, but the Father did not come to his Son. Why is that? Well, it is the responsibility of children to first respect parents. Behold the commandment, honor your father and your mother. It does not say honor your son and your daughter. But the son and the daughter honor the father and the mother. The father did not come to the son because the son was not ready. He could not fix his son, for such was God's work. I suppose if he had tried, if he'd gone out there and paid the son's debt, gave him another loan, all he would have done was prolonged his suffering and his agony. He would have enabled him in his prodigal and wasteful living. And so the father, out of his love, albeit tough love, did not do so. But when he was still a great way off, you see, his father had been day and night in prayer since the day of birth of his oldest son. And he had been in earnest prayer day and night through all of this time when his oldest son was in that far country, expectantly looking, expectantly hoping that news would come that his son had come to his senses and was ready to enter through the straight gate, forsaking the broad way which leads to destruction. And he had compassion, not anger, not I told you so, but rather unconditional love and grace. He had compassion upon his son. He would not provoke his son to anger, thereby driving himself away to seek solace from those who had already abandoned him, his buddies in wasteful living. Rather, he would offer unconditional love and grace. And thus, he ran to his son. Learn also in our text about our relations with our Heavenly Father, your relations with your Heavenly Father. This is the primary application of our text and our passage. Jesus told great and wonderful stories that we can apply today. But he never told a story without a spiritual application deep at the heart of it. And this passage is no exception. The father in the passage represents God, the prodigal son, the repentant sinner, and the oldest son, the self-righteous person. In that day, there would have been a direct application to the Pharisee. It would have cut right to the heart of the Pharisaic mind and thinking. And I ask you, friend, will this be your day of reconciliation with your Heavenly Father? Will this be your day of reconciliation with your Heavenly Father? You can meet him through the way He has provided, through Jesus Christ, His only Son, the only name under heaven given, through which men and women might be saved. And He arose, having laid open His folly. The repentant sinner had come to a realization that the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the sinner is hard. The way of the simple, the way of the fool is hard. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the state He was in, He would die in His poverty. He had wasted His life, wasted the possessions that were entrusted to Him, and He would die that way unless He came to His senses. Likewise, spiritually, those who waste their opportunity to lay hold of the gospel will die in their sin and inherit their due reward, their portion in the lake of fire. Those who go through life having accepted Christ and waste the great and glorious spiritual gifts that He has bestowed upon them will find at the Bema Seat that their life had been wasted when it could have been used to the glory of God the Father. He came to His Father. To whom else could they go? How might the repentant sinner come back to his heavenly Father? Through the Son. But when He was still a great way off, for no one can come to the Father except the Father draws him, and the Father had drawn this repentant sinner back home, He saw him, and He had compassion. A broken and contrite heart the Father will not despise. A weak and weary sinner, as you are enjoined in the worship this morning, come back to the Lord. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in Him. Psalm 34:8. Indeed, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. We find this in both Old Testament and New. It is God's desire that all come to repentance, but sadly, many will not come. Many will go forth with the attitude of the other son in our passage. Didn't I do all the right things? Haven't my works been good enough to please You, Lord? No. No, for the just shall live by their faith. All fall into one of these two categories that I'll submit to you this morning. They're either self-righteous or they're made righteous. Two types of people. Self-righteous people, people who think that by themselves they can be made righteous, and there are those who are made righteous because they've put on the new man, having received the very righteousness of Christ, which is freely offered through His work. And ran. He ran, the Father ran, showering the repentant sinner with affection. This is what God's response is to those who return to Him. When we return to Him, Christ runs to receive us. The angelic choir rejoices in exaltation. A reconciliation has taken place. Isn't that why Christ came? To reconcile the world unto Himself? And so He comes excited at such reconciliation, and to offer you and I reassurance. In conclusion, let us take heed to the challenge of the Lord put forth through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard on desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for in the hills and from the mountains, the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flock and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even to this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. Return to me. Return to the Father. And when you've done that, when you've restored a right relationship vertically, then you are free to imitate Christ in your human relations. Be sure this morning that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is right. And then go forth, making peace so much as it depends upon you with your earthly father as well. I understand that this is a bittersweet morning, a bittersweet time for many whose earthly father has passed. May you keep dear in your hearts the good memories and thank the Lord for the time that you've had. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our earthly fathers, Lord God, and those who have functioned in roles worthy of that title, that designation. Lord God, help us that we might honor them, thereby honoring you by taking heed in obedience to the commandment. And we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for being there, for providing for us in our day of need, even this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.